All right, welcome to Game Chat, guys. Hope you guys had a good week. This week we are starting our discussion on A Way Out, which was published by EA, developers Hazel Light Studios, with the director-writer kind of head guy on this, Joseph Fares. So we're discussing the first half-ish of the game this week. Then the second half will be next week. So let's get started into it. We'll start with introductions. And if you guys have looked at the notes, you'll see, give us your name as well as in anything, games, movies, TV, a real person, the person you would like to have on your team if you had to escape from a prison. Starting with Frank.
Hello, this is Frank, and it would have to be Sean Connery.
Good choice. Good choice. Next.
This is Jonathan. I would say Adam Savage from the Mythbusters.
Ooh. Okay.
Because he knows all the stuff. he's busted out of fake prisons before, so.
Okay. Yeah. It's a good one.
This is Madeline, and I would say Riddick from the Chronicles of Riddick.
Nice.
This is Chris. I would say Wentworth Miller, who played Michael Schofield in Prison Break.
Oh, okay.
Because
all
he'd
right.
be covered in tattoos that are all hidden messages on how to escape from the jail.
Wait, so do you want the actor or you want the character?
Either one.
I don't think he actually got the tattoo.
No, I know, but I'm sure like he would be invested enough to tattoo his body to do that, so.
It's good. This is Steph, and I would say, oh man, this is my own question. I didn't even think about it. I'm gonna go with like the typical like Bruce Willis character that he plays, you know, that's very
just
kind of like
brute force it out of there.
Intense brute force. Yeah. Like I'm seeing in my mind like maybe like, you know, Die Hard, you know, a little bit crazy. But mm-hmm. I'd want someone to be able to do the brute force and think, because I would be too like frantic to be doing any of that. I'd just be running. So again, welcome. And we'll get started into everything. Just as a little kind of summary for those listening, A Way Out is a multiplayer game. So it's two people multiplayer. So you can do couch co-op or you can do online multiplayer. But basically, you start the game with, you have one character that's already in prison, one character that's coming into prison, and things kind of progress. The two kind of buddy up and decide to try and escape together. And that's pretty much like that's how much we've played so far. They've escaped from the prison. Kind of, you know, did their own little thing that took a while. They had to like go through a grate and run from guards. And I think the first half ended with us being outside. So, you know, who knows where we'll go from there. And just as a forewarning, this will have spoilers if you haven't played the game. So we'll get started. So how do you guys feel about the, because it is again forced multiplayer, there's no single player mode. How do you feel about the decision? Do you think that was a good one? Do you think it kind of helps the gameplay a bit?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You have to trust them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause I think if there was like a single player mode, the whole, I don't know if I want to say decision or just mm-hmm. like the actions that you're doing don't carry that much weight because you are relying on a physical, actual human
yeah.
to help you out rather than some potentially crappy AI.
True.
So
yeah.
And you know,
yeah, I agree.
Yeah. AIs are always crappy. They're always never. Especially the ones like games are really good at making. I mean, well, not really good, but they're becoming good. Like, I'm thinking, like, The Last of Us had really good enemy AI. And another instance is, like, with Hello Neighbor. The AI in that, the guy that you're, if you guys have played it, the guy that you're spying on, you're trying to break into his house, it's a really good AI system. But I've still, like, there's still not that many games that have good, helpful AI, like AI that's there to help you. It's still kind of, at least I can't think of any instances.
Well, I think going way back with like Half-Life 2, that had some pretty decent helpful AI. But I mean, that's really the only game I can think of off the top of my head, and that was back in what, almost 15, 20 years ago at this point. So
yeah. Go ahead, Jonathan.
I was just going to say, I liked how, you know, they took the gamble in, you know, forcing it to be multiplayer in such like a story-driven kind of game, because most multiplayer games are always, you know, shooters, or you might be on a team. So it's, most multiplayer is, nowadays you think of just like people yelling at each other over mics, and there's not like co-op. So thinking like just having a completely story-driven game where you have to play it with someone else, I just thought was a very bold move that like ultimately paid off. Like you just mentioned Last of Us, and that just, I just maybe thought about what if Last of Us did this, where one person played Ellie, one person played Joel. Like that.
That makes me really excited. It will never happen, but I'm really excited just thinking about it. Yeah, that's a good point. And I think that if there was, because one thing I had on here was, you know, do you think there should have been a single player option? I think if there was a single player option to go through the game, I probably would have just been like, I'm just going to play this single player. But the interesting thing was that it was like, no, you have to find someone else to play with. And so then you have to be like, well, who do I want to partner up with? Who would I want in my corner to help me out with this, you know?
I also don't think that if it was a single player game, I don't think it would be a very good game, honestly. Yeah. I think the multiplayer aspect of it, the dual screen, is what makes it stand out.
Yeah, I think that's what really kind of gives the game heart, too, is that it's forced multiplayer co-op. Because if you took that out of the game, it would definitely be losing something.
True.
Yeah.
True. For sure. For sure.
And to be fair, I mean, EA cuts you a break because I'm playing with Chris and I don't have to buy the game. I just got downloaded the demo and... And as long as one person bought the game, you can partner up with anybody else on the PS4, which is
nice. Really nice.
Which is really nice. Which is nice. Mm-hmm. That softens the blow of having to play with somebody else. So
yeah,
it really is. That's how I was able to pitch it to my coworker. Mm-hmm. He doesn't play computer games a lot because you know he has two little kids running around, and I pitched him this game, and he was like, "Oh, I don't know." I'm like, "You can play it for free," and he's like, "Yeah, man, let's do it tonight."
It doesn't have the option for with the random, correct? It's
for matchmaking.
I thought that was the case, but I never looked at it to see if it was. If they actually had that or not.
Yeah, no, there's no matchmaking.
From what I saw, it was when you... It gives you the option of either doing the couch co-op or online. Yeah. When you select online, you have to invite someone in.
Mm-hmm.
So.
That almost add enough risk though to the game, because then you're having to trust a person.
Right, it could be just trolling you and
enjoys
watching you fail. Yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
No, there's no guard coming. You can go ahead. Keep going.
Okay. Well, but you could always see their screen too if you, yeah. If you pay attention.
Yeah, it was interesting. I found that I didn't find myself cheating over to the other side of the screen. I was just concentrating on mine too much. I would get too confused.
Yeah,
trying to watch both.
You know, the other thing too with the split screen is I think it did a really good job with that as well, where it kept you engaged to be on your screen, and not look at the other one. I think really the only few times where I've really looked at the other screen was like when we're out on the yard and I was trying to find Frank, and then there was the other one where you're trying to get to the tower, and we somehow got separated. I don't know how that happened, and he was in some completely opposite location than where I was, and I was like looking at his screen to see like exactly where he was and then where I was. So yeah, but I think other than that, it's there's a good balance between the two, the split screen there. So
I really liked I really liked that aspect to where like you could still see what the other character's up to, you know, what's happening, you know, like dialogue stuff with them. And or also I think it might have done this, but I know it does it a lot later on too, where it'll show a cutscene on one side of the screen while the other player is still like, you know, is walking around because it's not really their point in the story. And then sometimes like the cutscene will like slowly crowd the other player out to be full screen, which I don't mind, but you know, it kind of keeps things flowing.
There was two instances that kind of got a little distracting. One was like we were both having conversations at the same time, and the game will kind of like it won't mute, but it'll lower the volume on the other side. But it's still kind of distracting because you got two people like having two separate conversations at the same time.
True.
And then the other one that kind of like really took me out of the game, but this was really minor, was when you're on the yard and you're going to meet, not Vincent, but who's the other guy?
Leo.
Leo. And then you get thrown in the yard and you're fighting.
Oh, yeah.
And like you're controlling both characters. Like.
Oh, yeah.
So that was just like a little jarring because I thought we were supposed to be separate and not together, but
it was a little strange.
I may be zipping ahead a little bit, but I love the film aspect of this game. Like this is the most film-like game I've ever played, which makes sense because Joseph Ferris was a filmmaker.
Yeah.
But just like one of the first things I wrote down in, like in my notes was kind of like towards the end of where we were playing during the end of the escape, there was a part where me and my friend, we decided to escape under the bridge. And there's a part where you're climbing a ledge and I played as Leo, and Leo keeps saying he was afraid of heights. He's afraid of heights.
Yeah.
And there was, I noticed, when we were both on the ledge at the same time, and Vincent's camera panned up, and he was like watching for the guards while he was moving on the ledge, whereas Leo's camera automatically panned down to the depths below, just because it just showed the different perspectives.
That's what he'd be looking at. Yeah.
Right.
And I loved that.
Yeah. Yeah. No, for sure. No, I noticed that too, and a lot with like the pacing of the story. And especially, you'll see more of it later, but especially with when you were still in the prison, you were breaking out and, you know, you had like the fight scenes and, you know, you could see it there too with like it had very good cinematography in those areas of the game.
Yeah, and as for pacing, you were saying that the game was pretty merciful that, you know, once you achieved something, one part of a task, you didn't make you backtrack all the way. It's like when you discover you need something else, it's like, you know.
It had very film-like editing, which I I am an editor by trade, but so I really appreciated that because any other game would make you do that whole back-to-back wall climb like 5 times.
Right. Especially, yeah, that and, you know, with the, like, we need a wrench. Okay. All the way back down, you know, 2 days later in the workshop.
Yeah.
that was very interesting.
Yeah. The other thing, too, that I liked was just the option to have the voice chat going while you're playing the game.
Yes.
Because it does add that that extra layer of, you know, co-op play. Sure. There were a few times, like, when we were up on the roof, and we just kept, like, talking to people and stepping in the tar and tarring the roof.
Yeah.
And are like, all right, what are we supposed to do here? And then finally I see the action to break the broom there. But, you know, it was nice because you had another person there to work the puzzles out with you.
Mm-hmm.
And then it felt like there was a greater sense of accomplishment once you figured out how to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's interesting because with my coworker, you know, because he had kids who were in bed, we didn't do voice chat. And so we were kind of on our own, just squatted around, and we occasionally text each other.
Yeah.
But
that would be tough, yeah.
It was really challenging, but at the same time, it was really funny because, like, talking about the wrench scene, you know, I was immediately, like just the way my mind was, I was like, there's the guy with the wrench. I'm going to go talk to him.
Yeah.
It's us talking to him. And then when I realized, oh, I need Vincent over here to distract him so I can steal him, I looked over to the left of the screen and I was like, where is he going? And he was just wandered up. And then, like, I see him go into a room and cut power. And I'm like, wait, what is he doing? there was one time, it was during the laundry, in the laundry room.
Yeah.
And we were both trying to figure out, we were both wandering around talking to every single NPC, not knowing what to do. And we finally found the laundry basket. Leah punched out the guy and, you know, I get the laundry basket and he goes ahead and starts pushing me and we're like, we got it. And then I was like, oh, wait, no, we haven't put sheets in it yet.
Yeah, we did the same thing.
And so I got up instantly, and then, you know, we got caught. And I texted him, and I was like, oh, my B. And then we restarted, and then we switched places. And then he got caught almost immediately afterwards.
Oh, no.
And he texted me back and was like, my B. So, like, we just had this. And then there was just a number of times where it was funny because, like, I would mess up and I'd feel bad.
Yeah.
But then he'd mess up and something else. It was just funny.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Yeah, I can't remember if there's any. Again, like, I've played ahead because I had to give a stopping point for tonight, but. Were there any moments where it had, like, the to where when you guys when Vincent and Leah were together, that you had to decide if you wanted to do it Leo's way or Vincent's way?
Yeah, during the escape, you could.
Okay.
Like, Leo wanted to attack the police, and Vincent wanted to go underneath the bridge.
Yeah.
Did you have any? So, how did you guys decide that, Jonathan? Because that would have had to have been, like, a discussion thing.
Well, that was just a good solid 30 seconds of our curses going around in circles.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I would normally play the good guy.
Yeah.
But for this playthrough, I was like, you know what? I want to play Leo because he seems like the bad guy. And so I wanted to do all the bad things. But you know, my friend Parrish, he was like, no, let's not attack the police. And I'm like, ah, you goody two shoes. And then I would just give it to him.
Yeah.
But we had some funny conversations at work the next morning.
So oh, like, sure.
What's wrong with you, man?
Yeah, I think we both decided to go under the bridge.
Yeah, the other situation looked way too complicated.
Yeah,
we did too. You'll see that Leo's, I mean, like, and it's interesting. We can talk about it a little bit. But Leo, I mean, I would never classify Leo as the bad guy. I mean, Vincent's the one on his record that it does say that he killed someone. Leo just stole a diamond. But Leo's way of doing things is very straightforward, which is usually how I operate. But in this, I was like, because you'll run into those decisions, like, for the rest of the game. And I always mostly was like, no, we're doing it Vincent's way. Vincent's way sounds more sensible and, like, it's going to work and that we won't run into this crazy situation. And Leo was always like, let's just take out the cops. Yeah. Let's just do this. Let's just roll in. And it's like, no, Leo, calm down. It's all right.
I already want to, like, I haven't finished the game, obviously, but I already want to, like, replay it as Vincent, because I've been playing as Leo. It's like, I already want to replay it again with somebody else.
Yeah. Yeah. Was there a reason that you guys chose who you did at the beginning of the game, or did you just choose whomever?
I just chose whoever.
Yeah, it was random. We just said, okay, do this.
Yeah, yeah.
I wanted to go rogue. And Leo seemed like going rogue.
Yeah. I mean,
He's the brawn of the operation.
I kind of like that, because I think when they were talking in the helicopter or something, that it said, or maybe it was, I don't think it was in his profile that you saw, but something about, like, that he wasn't that bright, like, he wasn't that smart. I was like, I want to go with Leo then. I'm going to go with the not smart guy. That seems fun. That seems like the more fun choice.
Smart.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you guys think that you'll... Oh, sorry, go ahead, Madeline.
Leo seems like a rogue, whereas Vincent seems like a politician.
Yes.
Yeah.
As far as, like, their problem solving.
Yes, exactly. That's a good way of putting it. Do you guys think that you'll stay with the same character throughout, or do you think that you'll switch it up?
I want to stay as Leo.
Yeah, I think with this playthrough, I'd stick with who I have.
The same one.
And then, you know, play with someone else and be Leo.
Yeah. 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 How did you guys feel about... You know, we talked about the characters a bit. How did you feel about them as characters? Did you find that they were believable? And
for the most part, yeah. I think they went along with their game type. I mean, their character type. They didn't have gone against type yet.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I was telling this, you know, discussing it with my friend after we played.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, I think if this wasn't a game, if this was, like, just a movie.
Yeah.
Like, this would be the most generic, just prison escape.
Yeah.
By making it a game, by making you play with somebody else and making it that personal, it's mm-hmm. like, it just, you ignore that. You ignore that it's a pretty simple, you know, escape.
Yeah.
So,
it's pretty choke. Yeah. Tropey. Has a lot of tropes in it.
Yeah.
A lot like Shawshank Redemption for this first
game. Yeah.
I kind of expected a little bit more, to be honest. I thought it would be more to the escape, like, because in my head I was thinking, like, Clint Eastwood, Escape from Alcatraz, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Like, the entire day was going to be the escape.
Well, yeah. I mean, So, trying to think of, one question I was going to ask. Did you find yourself making decisions as yourself, or did you find yourself making decisions as the character you were playing?
Mostly as talking it over with Chris as we played. It's like,
yeah,
all right, how do we approach this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I was playing as Leo.
I kind of was too, Jonathan. Yeah. So we did, and this kind of goes into, I think, like what might go into a little bit later, but so did you guys notice that with Vincent that we've already caught him in one lie, with this, that he lied about going back to back with his brother, I think it was, climbing up when you were going up to the vent. Mm-hmm. It was revealed that he lied about that a little bit later. Do you guys think that he's lying about anything else? Like, do you?
Yeah, I didn't think that, just because I would have been thinking that, you know, Vincent was the goody-goody, Leo was the,
yeah,
you know, the bad guy kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, rough guy. But it wasn't until it was before we even got that to that part, just in the middle of playing, my friend, he texted me and he was like, dude, my character's totally going to betray your character. I'm like, what?
Oh.
You think so? You think
so, really? Why does he think that? Why does he think that, Jonathan? Did he say, or was it just his premonition?
I think that was just like the feeling he got, just like the, like, I don't know, this guy's too clean. You know, he's always in here for false murdering his brother. I don't know. I think he just had a hunch, and then it was revealed that, like, oh, he did happen to lie about that, and so I'm like, no, not Vince.
I
was just going to say the thing with Vincent, that was more like, I guess, pardon my friends, it was more him just bullshit through the situation.
Yeah.
You know, just to get through the situation, or, you know, let me just say something to convince Leo to help, you know, get up this wall, rather than, you know, and, you know, the other thing with the, you know, we're all, you know, that's the running trope in prison things. Yeah, we're all innocent, you know, none of us committed any crimes, you know, and he did. I mean, essentially, he was an embezzler. He was helping the enemy, whoever the boss was, the bad guy. Embezzle money and launder money. So he is a criminal. I mean,
yeah.
He just ain't no murderer.
I'm just no murderer. Oh, okay.
His accent reminded me a lot of, maybe you can, it might be New York, but it kind of reminded me of the accents that I would hear in Revere, which is north of Boston.
A little bit.
Leo's accent, yeah. Leo. I was like,
yeah.
It's very kind of like typical accents that you'd expect in a prison movie. Sure.
How did you guys? Oh, do you have anything else, Jonathan?
Oh, I was just gonna ask a question that I had written down my notes and forgot about. But
yeah.
But did you find the interludes between chapters on the plane, did you find that? That took me out of it, like, you most think? Of the time. Yeah, so I was just wondering if anyone else thought that way.
A little bit, but actually it was kind of insightful with when they actually asked them about the back-to-back thing. So I guess, you know, it's leading to something, yeah. So we're going to find out where they're going on this plane, so...
Yeah, I'm with Frank.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was kind of like, while this, you know, compared to what, you know, they were escaping prison, I was like, man, they're just kind of casually flying through the skies there. So, you know, I was like, I don't know who's, like, flying, where they're going. I kept wondering that. But yeah.
They look like they're in flak jackets, too.
I know. Yeah.
Yeah, they're geared up for something. Mm-hmm.
How did you, because you're mentioning the prison, how did you feel? Like, I felt like I kind of wanted the prison to be a little bit grittier. I kind of want it to be a little bit more realistic. I don't know. I guess maybe like more like TV realistic, where it's a little bit grittier. There's a lot more like, you know. I mean, did you guys find out that the prison portrayal was a little too safe?
I had that thought. I was thinking like when we were playing it, I was like, yeah, this is a pretty progressive prison. We're all working together. There's, you know, there's, you know, African American officers. There's white officers. There's like, I'm like, wait, when is this set?
Yeah.
It seems peaceful, other than like the one fight in the yard where there was an assassin. You know.
Yeah.
The other thing too is like when you're playing as Vincent, you get off the bus and then you're going through the hallway to get processed, and you got the one guy there that's just like, oh, I really screwed up. Like, what? How did I get here? Like, I don't want to be here. This is just a really, really bad place. Mm-hmm. And then you're like folding laundry and scrubbing the roof, and it's like, well, doesn't seem like it's that bad. So
working with tools in shop class.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Yes. You don't have anything. Shop on this.
Bash.
Yeah, well, yeah, they, go ahead, Frank.
Yeah, they sort of glossed over, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially interactions with other prisoners and stuff. They just sort of like, I'm sure in some of those situations, the other prisoners would have been telling them to, in not so eloquent terms, to get lost, like in the laundry room and the shop and stuff like that, you know. Yeah. Because everybody's out for themselves, and they don't want to get into trouble. So it's like, you know.
Yeah. And I just thought it kind of interesting that like really the only fight in the prison was because what's his name was hired to kill Leo. You know, it wasn't like just because I would think that you see some guys fighting and then all of a sudden everyone's just like prison riot, and it's like nope, just these three guys, and you know they're gonna fight you in the kitchen. It's like the guards take quite a while to get to you in the kitchen, where you grab knives really quickly. It's just like, wait. Also, something I noticed, even though I was playing as Leo, you know, at the beginning of the game when Vincent, you know, is kind of going through the initiation and he meets the warden, and it goes into like a cutscene for him, for Vincent, and like the warden like gives his generic warden speech. Mm-hmm. And I was expecting, like, the warden to be, like, some confrontational force throughout the escape. And it's like, oh, no, not really. Yeah. He's just there.
Yeah. One kind of off topic of it, one funny thing that happened with me and the person I was playing with is that towards the beginning when Vincent's being brought in and he's told to take off his clothes to, you know, for his spray down. And so, you know, Vincent, you know, I was playing Leo. And so Vincent's over here, you know, no clothes on, being like sprayed down. All you see is like, you know, his butt and the rest of him, you know. And I'm at this time, like, my Leo's goal, I think, on the screen was to go, you had to go to a certain room. But I was, like, talking to people out in the yard and, like, you know, just, like, having a conversation, thinking, oh, well, Vincent's story will continue. He'll go into wherever. I'm just, like, you know, gonna take my time. I didn't realize that was a, like, you had to get into a certain, Leo had to get into a certain room before the shower stopped.
Oh, my God.
And so.
The perpetual shower of Vincent.
Vincent was like, you know, just there on the side of the screen, bare butt, you being sprayed down for, like, a good 5 minutes. While, like.
There's no skin left. Like,
strolling around the yard, talking to people. And me and my friend are both like, wow, this shower's going on a very long time. Like,
it's a little,
it's a little uncomfortable. It's a little, yeah. And then I went into a room and then
it was like, okay, let's move on with the story, you know? Oh, the shower's over. And I was like, oh, I was like, if I would have known that was a timed event and I had to get to this room for that stupid shower to end, I would have done that sooner. But yeah, so we were looking at Vincent's bare butt for like close to 10 minutes. It was exciting.
Because we still have the second half of the game. What do you guys hope, like, how do you see, like, what's your premonition for, like, how the story is gonna unfold?
Well, we're gonna get to a plane.
We're gonna get to a plane. That's a good point. Yeah. Yeah. We're gonna find the guy that has the Christmas up lights in his cabana house thing. Or whatever. Mm-hmm. Yeah, his cabana.
Yeah, I think it's like we're done with the escape movie. Now we're in like the revenge movie.
Jonathan's friend, coworker, thinks that Vincent's going to is going to go rogue.
Mm-hmm. It's Ray Leo.
Go ahead, Madeline.
Because Vincent and Harvey, like, we only saw Harvey for just a little bit. They have really similar facial features. Oh. So.
Mm. I'm just thinking from the standpoint that I just, you know, don't want to generalize, but, mm-hmm. you know, Leo being the sort of his character, I would less suspect him of doing something of betraying or diamond out somebody. He seems like to be a, you know, the quote unquote, you know, loyal criminal, you know what I'm saying?
He's very kind of, so like, he's very straightforward with, you know what I'm saying? This is, I played a little bit more, but he's very straightforward with what he does, you know, with his ideas. And he's very kind of like brute force, but then also, you know, he's not, you know, you kind of see a glimpse of it whenever you're crossing the bridge and like he has this fear of heights and he just becomes like a little kid. You know, like he's not as like as scary as what he pretends to be.
Leo strikes me as very blue collar, and like, yeah. I don't mean that in an offensive way, but like,
no,
I understand.
Kind of like salt of the earth. What you see is what you get.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. I played a little bit ahead from our stopping point too, just because that my coworker, you know, he doesn't know when he could play again, so we were just kind of getting through it. But I'm trying to remember. I feel like, especially in that first half, it's like we get a lot more characterization of Leo and like his past, his, you know, family. I mean, we do get the like Vincent's phone call with his wife, but I don't know. I felt like so far they've been building Leo up more, at least to where I played.
Yeah.
Yeah, and just the Vincent's interaction with his wife was really, I don't know, kind of weird. Like, you know, doesn't show up for the prison visit, and mm-hmm. she's sort of just like disowning him. I don't know. That's something's going on there.
Something's going on. Would you guys like to see any, like, different styles and gameplay or anything as we continue on in the game? Like, are you hoping for any change or for anything to get better? Or
I was just gonna say
I'm just looking forward to see what they throw at us next. I mean, I kind of enjoyed the bushes thing, you know. And trying to, you know, as a team figure out what's the best way, A, to get through the bushes, and B, when do we actually have to, at some point you actually have to take a couple cops down. So it's like,
oh yeah,
you know, figuring out when to do that and when not to do that. And mm-hmm. thankfully the game's pretty merciful on that.
When to hide in the bushes and when not to try and jump over a log. And
right.
That was for me and my coworker, because we didn't have voice chat, we both kind of like just went off on our own. We got up to like the same guard. It was funny because I was coming up behind him and I saw I saw my friend, I saw Vincent jump up and like try to take the guard out, then he turned around, he got caught, and we were like, ah! And then the very next time, the guard saw me ducking in between bushes, and we're like, ah, oh, what's with Officer Eagle Eyes over here? That guard kept getting us.
Would have been funny if you two like bumped into each other and tried to take the other one down. Thought the other one was a guard.
It was funny, but it's like that kind of shows how the game is like. We both went off completely different directions, but it's the game is very good at funneling you back to the same point.
Mm-hmm. Good level design.
Yeah. That's something you'll be thankful for later on too. Is that it doesn't make you go through like the entire. An entire sequence again. It brings you back to a certain point, instead of sending you like way back. Was there anything that we missed you guys would want to talk about for the first half of the game?
The dog chase scene was really good.
The what?
The dog chase scene.
Yeah, I was excited to see dogs, but then there were mad dogs, and that wasn't fun.
Then one fell into the river.
And one bit me.
Yeah.
I like how things that are important in the environment, they're not overly highlighted. Like, it's part of the environment. They're painted yellow, but it looks like it's would be a normal part of the environment.
Yeah.
Things that you're supposed to interact with, like yellow ladders or the yellow, you know, window that you're supposed to pry up.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even notice that.
Really nice touch. It's a really nice.
Mm-hmm.
I'll have to look for that now. I didn't even notice that.
Yeah. No. Go ahead, John.
I like how pretty much all the puzzles, they weren't super easy, but they weren't too difficult.
Mm-hmm.
It was like. They were just difficult enough for you to be like, oh, okay, and you feel good about yourself figuring it out.
Yeah.
And then I love just how a lot of them depend on, you know, the partner interactions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, from like the catching the fish to the like the climbing of the wall of the vent, you know, doing the back to back thing.
Mm-hmm.
That was actually part of the most challenging thing just because we didn't have voice chat.
Yeah. So
at the same time,
and I can't imagine.
And we actually instinctively just after a little while figured out like when to do it, like together. Like there was a lot of rhythms, and you know we were talking about how when characters are both having conversations with somebody, they kind of like play over each other. So it's like you have to find that rhythm of like, okay, I'm paying attention. You talk to that guy, and then I'll talk to this guy.
For sure. All right, well, I guess we'll end it there then. For next week, we are gonna play the rest of the game. It's about 3.5 hours of gameplay. I wish that I could have broken that up, but the only way to do that would have been to like only have an hour and a half or two, but then it starts getting the crescendo happens pretty like it's not like, you know, it happens pretty. So I know that even if I would say only play 2 hours, you guys would probably end up playing to the end anyways. So yeah, there just wasn't that good of a like stopping point in there. So 3.5 hours of gameplay, maybe close to 4. So just give yourself some time. I'm excited to talk to you guys about it next week. And then also don't forget that for August we're playing Beyond Two Souls as well. That chat will be on the 28th. No, September the 4th. September the 4th is when we're talking about Beyond Two Souls. August the 28th, I had as an open day because I wasn't sure we'd finish up with A Way Out within 2 weeks. So that was going to be either finish The Way Out or we're going to do a week just a one-shot game that will only last a week. So I'm going to be looking at those and announcing that within the next few days, maybe even like tomorrow or something. So if you guys have any suggestions for a game that would last like, you know, 1.5 to 3 hours, you can just drop it in a general. I mean, I have some to choose from Steam that I haven't really looked at yet, but, and that wouldn't be like an arm and a leg. Yeah, just let me know. Or if you're listening and you have a suggestion, you can just drop it into our Facebook group or elsewhere, which leads me to where you can find us. You can find our podcast on Google Play, iTunes, as well as Stitcher. Did we ever hear back from Spotify?
No, I think I might have to resubmit it.
Okay. Hopefully soon on Spotify. We'll see. Then also, our landing site is thegamechat.net, and you can find us on Twitter and Instagram at thegamechat as well. I listen to Spotify all the time. But yeah, so I will chat with you guys next week. Oh, and we're also on Facebook as well as on Discord. But chat with you guys next week. Good chatting with you. I will see you then. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.